Anybody know what special day is today? It's Palm Sunday. It's almost Easter. It's almost Easter, right? It's called Palm Sunday. And the reason we call it Palm Sunday is because people cut palms and waved them. They cut palm branches and they waved them and they laid them on the ground in front of Jesus as he came into the great city of Jerusalem. And the reason that there was this little parade was that Jesus was kind of making fun of the important people. The people who thought they were really important, like the king and generals who were coming back with their army behind them. They would ride into town on a giant stallion, a giant horse. And so they could look down on all the people, and they would have people playing trumpets, and people would take off their coats, their cloaks, and they'd lay them down in front of the stallion to show their respect, that they're laying this path for this great man. And so Jesus said, how can I make fun of this? So he told his guys, go find a certain place and you'll find a baby donkey. And they'll say, bring me the baby donkey. And if they say, well, why are you taking our donkey? Say, it's okay, the Lord needs it, we'll bring it right back. So they brought the baby donkey to him. And this is a guy who walked everywhere. He didn't need to ride a donkey. But he wanted to make a statement. He wanted to make fun of those people who thought they were big and important because they were riding the stallion and they had lots of swords and spears and other weapons. And Jesus taught us not to use weapons, not to hurt people. So he didn't have any weapons. He didn't have a great big horse. He had a young donkey. And he rode on this donkey, and I think about this great big man riding a little big donkey, and I wondered, did his feet drag on the ground? But people laid their cloaks on the ground in front of that donkey, just like they did with the great generals. They went to the palm trees, and they said, oh, we've got to celebrate this great man coming into the city. So they tore branches off the palm trees, and they laid them down in front of Jesus and that little donkey. And they waved them in the air and they shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means God saves. Our God should save this wonderful great man. Hosanna, Hosanna. And so when we talk about Palm Sunday, that's the day we're celebrating. When Jesus rode into the great city of Jerusalem, if you heard about people talking about the temple, that was in Jerusalem. It was a great holy city. It was the city that King David founded. So he rode into the city of Jerusalem. People laid their coats on the ground in front of him, and they laid palm branches in front of that little bitty donkey, and he toddled into town like this with people making da-da-da-da. And he also, when those big people rode into town and wanted everybody to know how important they were up high looking down on people. And Jesus was riding on that little donkey, looking people in the eye, because he loved all kinds of people. And he loved even little kids and women and people who were sick and all kinds of people. So he was down close to them when he rode into town. And to help us remember about Palm Sunday, we have some crosses, and you're going to help us by distributing them. These crosses are made from palm leaves. Okay, see, somebody folded those into a cross, and you're going to help me by distributing those all around the church. Come on, let's come in. Everybody get a basket. If the big kids who were not wanting to come up want to help with this, there's probably enough. And make sure everybody gets crosses.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name.
these home? You want to carry one of those home? Okay, we're going to make a circle and say our prayer. And I got one more palm leaf if somebody wants to take that home. Thank you for spreading those. Now people can remember Palm Sunday with the cross that they've taken home. And you guys can take one too if you want. Jesus, we thank you that you could make fun of people that thought they were big and important. We thank you that you look us in the eye and you love us every day. Help us love other people the way you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Very good. Thanks. Ready with the palm leaf? Somebody want it? Yep. Ushers distributed the last of our Lenten sticks, our reminder sticks this morning, and it's a suggestion. If you'd like to try a new faith practice for the period of Lent, we've just got one more week for the period of Lent, and today it's trying 5 minutes of silence a day. For some people, that's a great challenge, trying to be silent, whether you're listening for God, whether you're listening to the silence. And for most of us, the monkeys start running around in our trees. And for some of us, it helps to say a phrase to remind us that we're listening again. And it may be, thank you, God. It may be, lead me, God. And some people will maybe hum something. But we're going to try, if you wish, 5 minutes of silence each day this week. And I hope that over these weeks, you might have found a faith practice that enriches your faith. Let us pray. Oh God, loving God, laughing God, we share your joy. When we take ourselves too seriously, help us laugh. When we think we matter more than you, make us humble. Make us small and courageous. Help us listen for your voice above all others. We thank you for our countless blessings. We bring you praise. Jesus, teacher, mocker of the mighty, lead us. We thank you for daily bread, daily healing, and each day's lessons in forgiveness and compassion. May we be as humble and sturdy as that little donkey. May we carry your love and peace as well. Spirit, holy breath, breathe through us, renew us, inspire us, make us yours. We pray all this and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, What are you doing untying that colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Here ends the reading from the Gospel of Mark. My message this day is called As Directed. Where do we hear the phrase as directed? On the many drug commercials, use as directed. They want to deny responsibility if you do something stupid with their medication. It's not our fault this drug destroyed your kidneys. You must not have used it as directed. You did not follow instructions. You disobeyed orders. Do we readily follow directions? When a new recruit joins the military, one of the biggest first lessons is to follow orders. At first, you learn small orders, orders that may test your patience. Go there, wait there, keep waiting there, dig a ditch, dig another ditch, fill in the ditch. Many of us are contrary by nature. Like a perpetual 13-year-old, if the drill sergeant says up, we want to go down. But that sergeant knows better, doesn't he? He knows our life will many times depend on our ability to follow orders. He knows that the good of our unit, our comrades in arms, and the whole military campaign will depend on our willingness to rapidly do as we are told, as directed. Boot camp must eliminate our insistence on doing things our own way. Jesus needed his soldiers to obey, and they did just as he directed. Jesus intentionally put on a show. He mocked the powers that be with a sarcastic imitation of a military parade. This was absolutely political. Most of this passage is Jesus giving orders, stage directions on how to set up the carnival. Can you follow orders, even if it seems silly? Can you follow directions, even if you make the real soldiers nervous? Jesus planned it all out. The man who walked and walked all over the region did not suddenly need a baby donkey to carry him through the city gates. He needed to thumb his nose at the governor. He needed his people, the vast crowds of the poor, to understand who he was. Riding into town like Yankee Doodle, Jesus was the opposite of the army general dragging newly captured slaves to the king. He was not riding a white stallion. Jesus was not sitting on the back of a convertible Cadillac. This street theater Jesus staged was God's response to pomp and fanfare. Jesus began his passion play at the Mount of Olives. Tradition said that the final battle for Jerusalem would begin on the Mount of Olives. Just as a warring general, Jesus began his final campaign there. Yet rather than sending for ammunition, his only provision was an unbroken donkey. The Prince of Peace takes possession of Jerusalem unarmed, toddling on a skittish colt. And just as we would expect when the conquering general arrives, the crowd waved palm branches, threw their cloaks at his feet, and shouted, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! God saves! Long live the king!" The Prince of Peace rode through this adoring crowd just as directed. Why? Why was Jesus directing a farce? Why was he mocking the giant stallion and the mighty army with their shields and armor? Why did Jesus say, "When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do"? Why did Jesus heal on the Sabbath day and say, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath"? Why did Jesus say, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy"? But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Why did Jesus say, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another"? Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Why did Jesus correct the poor and uneducated? Why did Jesus spend even more time correcting the comfortable and the learned? We all have expectations. We have habits. Habits make life simpler. They're not all bad. We do not have to learn to drive every day because our movements are automatic. We know how to do this. We expect the water to flow. We expect the trash to be picked up. Worship has always been this way. This is the way we have always done things. The powerful have always been powerful. That is just the way things are. Were his feet dragging the ground, riding that little donkey? Jesus corrects all those teachings, those automatics. "You have heard it said, but I say to you." For over 1,000 years, the Jews had been doing everything the way they had always done everything. Then an untrained teacher showed up. This son of a carpenter had the nerve to teach and heal and forgive everyone. He taught women and he held children, for heaven's sake. He had the nerve to correct our most revered teachers. He changed the rules about praying and the Lord's Day, and he held up a Samaritan as a hero. He touched lepers and made demons leave the possessed. He healed and forgave people, great sinners, and then sat down to eat with them. Does he want you bowing to anyone else? Just before they killed him, Jesus lampooned all the kings and powerful war heroes who had ever paraded into town. Imagine how those heroes had looked down on the ragged poor, shouting, "Hosanna!" way up high on their barely contained stallions. They could brush off and ignore the little people. And Jesus trotted in at eye level. He did not trample the poor. He saw them. He heard their cries. He loved them. In a culture where the biggest army won, where the meanest police kept order, where no one but the emperor had rights, Jesus turned it all upside down. Not a sword in sight, and Jesus took over the world. He said, "When they hit you, offer the other cheek for them to hit as well." Remember the jesters who dared to teach the king with thinly guised humor? Jesus staged a comedy to illustrate who was really in charge. The bullies may intimidate. The gossips might keep us in line today. The armored personnel carriers may rumble through the streets for a time. But the empires of fear, domination, and violence crumble. They always do. Gandhi and his nonviolent protests overthrew the British Empire. Nonviolent marches across the American South brought about the Voting Rights Act. Angry empires collapse. Love wins. Whose side will we be on? Will we be showering gifts on the generals? Will we be carrying chests of gold to a vain and threatening king? Or can we ignore their expectations and obey Jesus? Can you follow directions even if you make the real soldiers nervous? Will we untie the donkey and cut palm branches for the Prince of Peace? Will we obey him? Will we live as directed? Will we keep in mind that people matter more than traditions? Will we turn away from force and violence? Will we feed his sheep? Will we care for the sick, pray for everyone, and love our enemies? Will we offer the crazy, wide, extravagant welcome of Jesus? When strangers take a peek in our doors, will they recognize Jesus because of the way we love one another? Amen.
Hush, can you hear the same? Hush, hush, the Spirit's calling my name. Hush, hush, burning like a flame. I can feel it, the power of God. Oh, hush, hush, the Spirit's calling my name. Hush, hush, the Spirit's calling my name. That the Spirit gives, given to bless one and all. Inside of each one, the Spirit lives, helping us follow the call. Oh, hush, hush, the Spirit's calling my name. Hush, hush, can you hear the same? Hush, hush. Spirit's calling my name. Hush, hush, burning like a flame. I can feel it, the power of God. Oh, hush, hush, the Spirit's calling my name. Hush, hush, the Spirit's calling my name. Pour out your Spirit, oh breath. Spirit's calling my name. Hush, hush, the Spirit.